Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Make a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke?
That's not a talent.
Nope. Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody.
Top talent. This is my podcast. Can't sing this anymore because the words are too fast.
Yeah, better start the show or I'm not going to last. Top talent.
Let's get at it. Top talent.
Oh, yes, and I want to thank all those jingle singers for doing that for coffee money. That was great. My name is Richie Phillips. Welcome to Top Talent. This is the podcast that originates in the capital region of New York, the Albany area. I was a morning radio co-host for almost, well, for, yeah, 30 years in Albany. The station was WGNA. And, retired in 2016, and I don't miss it at all, 4 o'clock in the morning. But I'm having a real good time doing this podcast. And after this particular episode, it really, really made me think and rethink what I'm doing. I may just do a podcast that's solely based on tribute acts because it's such a huge thing right now. So, and it begins with a T. So that's really important. So it'd be Top Talent Tributes. Oh my God. It rolls right off the tongue. So I'm thinking of it. I really am. This particular tribute act that I happen to see here in the Capital Region, and I won't go too much further because I repeat myself as soon as we get into the podcast, but I happen to see an Elton John tribute act that just knocked my socks right off and decided that I really wanted him on the podcast, and he agreed. So I'm not even going to tell you his name because I'm just repeating myself. I'm going to take you right now to the essence of this podcast. This is my interview with a really great Elton John tribute act, and they actually call it the Philadelphia Freedom Act, I guess. Philadelphia Freedom Tribute Show is what it's really called, and blah, blah, blah. Here we go.
Hello, Doug.
Hey, Richie, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Pretty fine. Pretty good. I got those two sentences mixed up. Pretty good, and then how are you on this fine Sunday,
I'm
going to say.
Doing awesome, and I don't even know where you are or what part of this great nation you're in right now.
I'm in the good old state of Pennsylvania right now.
Oh, wow. So that's your home, right?
Yeah, northeast. Like, if you're familiar with Scranton's usually the place I give most people.
Uh-huh.
But to be specific, Wilkes-Barre. So it's like 20 minutes south of Scranton's.
Well, the real Elton John has homes everywhere. So do you have homes everywhere too, or just?
Not yet.
Well, no, excuse me. Now, I know
you're simple.
Yeah. Well, no, I've heard you play. You're not simple at all. You're just unbelievable. We're going to be talking, and we are talking right now with Doug. I don't know your last name. Is it Delscavige?
Close. Delscavige.
Delscavige. I was wondering about that. If it's which were the
Polish.
Oh, okay. Nice. And for you folks that are listening from outside of my region here, which is Schenectady, the Albany area, this Elton John impersonator, or not impersonator, tribute artist, that's what you go by, right? Tribute artist?
Yeah, usually.
Okay. He was at the Mohawk Harbor in Schenectady, which is right behind a beautiful new casino that we have here, relatively new. It's called the Rivers Casino, and he played outside there. What did you think? How did you like the venue?
I mean, it was, we definitely underestimated what the night was going to be like.
Ooh.
You know, we knew it was going to be like an outdoor show event going on, but it's just, yeah, like all the people kept coming in and stuff, all the boats and people were all coming in on boats and stuff. Yeah, it was an awesome night. It really was. And we were just all really surprised, very pleasantly surprised.
Well, my wife and I used to walk that area during the pandemic and there was nobody. And we were really worried about the casino in general, you know, about that whole beautiful area that they, you know, with the apartments and the condos and everything. And then after seeing you there, I'm thinking, boy, you may have revived the whole area. I've never seen that many people there before.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, like, yeah, even those apartments, like people were like all out in their balconies. It was cool.
Yeah, fantastic.
Has that place been around a while or?
No, it hasn't been around. I'm going to say maybe, I'm sure I'm going to get corrected for this, maybe 3 or 4 years it's been there.
Mm.
Yeah, they've been working on it for a really long time. But
getting very nice casino. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now I happened we had friends who had a boat, had like a pontoon boat, so we were in the harbor behind you.
Nice.
So all I could do was hear you first, and I'm thinking, well, I want to watch his piano playing as well, but your voice is incredible. And then when I went around to the front of the stage, I watched your playing. So let's get into that. Are you what is your background? What is your musical background?
Well, I taught myself piano.
Wow.
I was probably about 5 years old or so, and I had like a little tiny keyboard. I played on that for a couple of years, and then eventually my parents got me some like piano lessons. But I always loved doing that as long as I can remember singing. I don't even remember when I started singing. I know I used to do a lot of apparently karaoke as a little kid.
Yeah.
But when I hit about maybe 14 years old, we got like our first little band together, and we started playing like little venues around the area, like just little bars and like, yeah, right. Like 14 year olds and stuff were playing in bars. But like we did that for a few years, and then I continued studying. And then when I graduated high school, I went off to I was up in Boston. I went to Berklee College of Music.
Oh, okay. That explains it.
Yeah, that was great. I actually went there for piano studies, and I majored in audio, like engineering, recording and mixing and stuff. And then, came back to Boston, and I ended up finding my way now, like being a music teacher, which I did not think was going to happen, but I love that and the Elton. So that's kind of my life right now is teaching music at our school by day and gigging on the weekend.
Oh, so you're a full-time music teacher?
Yes. Music and art, actually.
No kidding. Oh, wow.
My school is, we're a very small school, but they're very understanding and very like considerate of like my schedule. And for the most part, we usually only would play like on Fridays or Saturdays.
Right.
And then occasionally like in the summertime, you might get other days of the week, but usually during the school year, it's just the weekend. So most cases, unless we have like a really far drive, I usually could get away with just taking like a half day Friday.
Well, that's great.
It works out pretty good, and they know my situation, so like I try not to book classes on like a Friday afternoon, like try to alleviate it as best I can.
Right. We have a lot in common, but not our ages, I can tell you that, but we have but we have a lot else in common, because I learned when I was 5 years old. I taught myself piano, and and I was a teacher. I taught social studies for 5 years, and
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I did. Right. Yep. And but we haven't really talked the Elton factor. Was it Elton John that was a motivator when you were a kid? Because when I was a kid, Elton John first came out. I don't mean came out. I mean he first. When I first saw him, when he started his career. Why did you pick Elton John?
I was very, very influenced by him.
I mean,
before I even knew what that meant. I really like his music. I like his lyrics.
Yeah.
As I got more involved with the piano, then I really started to like appreciate like, you know, his style,
yep,
his chord progressions, his color, everything,
mm-hmm,
to his music. I like his story. I really do. Like,
yeah,
just how he, you know, how he got where he is, his struggles. But
sure.
And yeah, his music just in general. Like we play a lot of different music. Like I write and stuff too. But like Elton, it's just, yeah, I always enjoy playing his music. It's fun to play. It's fun to sing. And yeah.
Well, I'm the same. I love singing and playing it as well, but I could never go out and do a tribute show. That's a different story. So how did you look in the mirror and go, I think I could actually look like him as well? Or did you care about that?
I didn't really care about the look at first. It kind of just started as music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of us in the band that we're in now that you saw last week, like three of us, me, Aaron, our one guitar player that was like on the riser, and then our bass player, Bernie, we go back like to like high school. Aaron and I in particular, we go back to like when we were like 12.
Wow.
But we used to play a lot, like in, like we did a cover, we had a cover band and we played like top 40s, like 60s through modern time. And
right.
Elton was a favored choice of ours. Hmm. Like, you know, we ended up like, we found ourselves playing a lot of Elton songs during these shows. And I know, like one day we kind of just got kind of fed up with doing that. And then we're like, well, we know a lot of Elton. We already know like, you know, 10 Elton songs. Let's write down another 10 more and let's just put a set together and see what happens. But we weren't intending on, you know, doing shows or anything at first. We just did it to do it. There, you know what? There was one show that we were doing. We made a special show. We built a special show around it at home. And we learned all these songs, and then we did that show, and it went relatively well. And then it kind of just took off from there. Like, we wow. just kept getting more shows with it, and then eventually we started branching outside of our area.
Yeah, I'll tell you, your band is fantastic, too. Those guys are great. Everybody sounded fantastic, really.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, how do they get time to go with you? Are they all teachers too in that small school?
No. However, though, our synth player, which unfortunately I don't believe you met, because she all is well, but she had a family emergency that she could not make the show last week, which stunk. But fortunately, all is well, so she's good now. But,
that's good.
She is also a music teacher as well. Mm-hmm. She teaches like a couple miles up the road from my school, but no, kind of similar situations. We just everybody just, we're all, I guess we always joke about it. We always say we're all just in that time of our life now where we all, the universe just lined up.
Yeah.
All our bosses being understanding of us and letting, like, and they do, like, you know, they have full-time jobs too, everybody, but for the most part, they, their work is very understanding of it. Our two guitar players, they basically just, their work, they just got to get their work done. It could be done a week early, it could be done 3 days early, it could be done right. The day that it's due, as long as the work gets done, they're good. So
right a lot of people
are
working at home
too. Work.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah
There's a difference to me when I go and see a tribute band. There's a difference between an interpreter of the music or a straight up impersonation of the music. You know what I mean? Do you consider yourself more an interpreter of Elton John music, or do you try to do a straight up impersonation? Cause I kind of see it in between. I don't think you're a direct impersonation vocally.
Yeah, that's a good question. I really never thought of that. I haven't really thought about it much. I mean, I would say probably in between. I mean,
yeah.
What I will say though is, like, first and foremost, I mean, Elton would probably, it wouldn't matter if it was Elton or Queen or Billy Joel, like, this part would come second probably to the first bit. But we love playing music.
Yeah.
Like, first and foremost, like, we just love playing. Like, mm-hmm. we, and the more we're traveling, the more we're just rooting our love in doing it. And, like, then Elton comes and, when we do our shows, we just, like, for us, like, it's Elton John's music, but we just try to make it so everybody's just, you know, they forget about what they're doing for a little while. They're coming out, they're having a good time.
And right.
We're all just under the same roof.
Yep.
Doing the same thing and having a blast. And it's Elton John. And it just happens to be someone that we all love very much. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody in the band very much likes him. And his music, you know, I think I could say this, he would probably do this himself. Like, they never played shows the same way, like, ever. Like, the right. only time you ever hear those songs the way they are is like the day they recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
They've never played it the same every time. Like, they always added stuff, they always changed up arrangements, added solos, they improv,
because they get bored. You get bored if you play the same show every night, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And we never allowed ourselves to do that. We never play the same set. And even if we do, we change up how we play it. We change arrangements. We add harmonies. We'll even take an arrangement that we've been doing for 2 years, and we'll just change it all of a sudden and do it a little bit faster, maybe a little different groove. But and there, a lot of his songs, they have pockets in them where you could break away from the form and you could just go into like an all-out improv jam.
Yeah,
and that never gets old for us. And that's Elton, like that he would do that. Like,
yeah, that's, you know, right, that's
something he would do. He would get up, start running across the stage, like do a handstand on the piano,
right?
And his musicians too, like he was never he never, like, you know, he was Elton, the spotlight was definitely him, but he never made it that way on stage. Like, you know, he hit him and his band, like they always just had a blast on stage. And
you can tell when you watch like when you watch some of his video, like on YouTube, you can see them, like he's looking at the band and the band's looking at him. You can almost tell that he's saying like, I'm going to keep going with this, like Rocket, like he'll do like 20 minute version of Rocket Man. Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cause you can tell he just wants to keep doing it. Like, I think it's going to be a long, long time. Then he goes into a break and he plays for like 10 minutes. And I love that.
Yeah. Or like Take Me to the Pilot. He'll do like a 20 minute piano intro, or he'll rock out on Leave On. You shall be.
Right. Yeah. He's just an incredible performer. Now,
have you seen him actually?
Yes, I have. I saw the, what was it called? Face to Face tour with Billy Joel. He came here. Oh my God.
You mentioned that. We were talking about that, yeah.
And they have the cameras above, so you can see them both, their hands on the piano, like the entire concert. I remember you could see their hands. I was like, I didn't want to look at anything else but the piano keys. I wanted to see what they were doing, you know?
Right, yeah. Oh. I do that. I find myself doing that a lot, too. Like, if I'm watching videos, I'll try to pause it on a camera angle that shows the keys, get that lick down or something.
But a piano, it's hard to watch a piano player, isn't it? It's hard to... I can't seem to follow, you know, it's a little bit different with a guitar. It might be a little bit different to watch, you know, than playing chords, but I don't know. Do you find
probably
the
angle? Yeah. Like you said, like with that concert, you probably have to come from above.
Right.
Otherwise you don't really get the full scope.
Mm-hmm. I have worked in a piano store here in Albany. I did like a part-time job there and it was very interesting. And the owner told me, Bob Hilton, I'll give him a little plug at Hilton Piano Center. He told me, like, I would do videos of kids or adults that would come in and play, and he had Steinway Grands in there and everything else. They would sit down and play really unbelievable classical music, and I said, why don't we do these videos and put them on a website, you know, like customers' talent or something like that. And he said, well, you got to watch that because there are people online that will just, you know, like expert piano players that will look and make, you know, comments. Do you, and I was thinking about that with you. Do you find if you're going out as an Elton John, you know, a tribute band, do you find that there are critics? Do you find, in other words, do you feel pressure to be exactly, you know, like him because you're worried about those people, those idiots?
So I'll give you the short answer first.
Yeah.
I don't, no, I'm not bothered because I don't care. I mean, yeah. I, like half and half. I do care, but like it depends. Like we filter it. Like, you know, if it's an obscenely absurd comment that just it's like, all right, like, you know, you just take a chuckle at it and it's like you let it go.
Yeah.
But we get good constructive criticism sometimes, and like, you know, we really take that to heart. Like, you know,
sure.
It's important. We have like, you know, we have steady people sometimes that have been following us at like recurring venues for like 3 years. And, you know, we've shuffled in and out players at times. And now we've been pretty set on this is our group now for like the past year or so. But,
right.
You know, they come back and they give suggestions. We get a lot of song suggestions from people, which is good. And honestly, the best critique I love getting is like, and we get it from time to time, is like on song flow, like, you know, like, or sometimes it's just a critique that we just realize ourselves. Like, you know, if we make a set and, you know, maybe it's just not vibing, like, you know, maybe we put one too many mellow songs next to each other or something.
Yep.
And the audience just isn't on their feet yet or something, you know,
right.
Just, you know, we'll always keep that in mind and see what works and doesn't work. But we really don't get too much of it at the end of the day. Like,
good.
I feel bad because mostly mostly it's the venues that get the most of the heat of it.
Okay.
Like, you know, if the PA was too loud or something.
Right.
Or something was crackling, or, you know, like, God forbid that, you know, they, you know, didn't open the doors right.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the dot. But, like, yeah, yeah. It usually that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we don't get it too often.
What? One thing I did notice, as I wasn't looking at you because I was behind you in a boat, but the speed of your song—you seem to play it a lot faster. Like, I think I was listening to it might have been Crocodile Rock, and in my head it was like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It wasn't that fast, but you do seem to—I don't know—you guys are really energetic. Is there a reason for that? Do you seem to play the stuff at a little bit higher tempo?
Yeah. honestly, that is just a pure impulse of, like, energy in the room.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, yeah, like, you know, there's been times where we've played Crocodile Rock very slow, like, you know, or like the studio speed. It just depends on the atmosphere. I mean, it was just a rock and concert, I guess. By that point, people were like pushing up to the fence, and it's just like, well, let's go.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I just do mess up. Like, I get a little too caught in the moment, and I get a little carried away. And then when it should be 1, 2, 3, 4, it's like Grace Seal. Like, that's supposed to be like, you know, tell me, Grace.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I know.
The second I said 4, I'm like, oh shit. Like, I'm like, I messed up.
Right.
And then we kept it going. So sometimes that happens. You just got to keep the train going.
And that's another thing I noticed, that you seem to pick a lot of cool album cuts that I wouldn't think of. You know, if I was in that band, I was thinking, let's just play the hits. But I love the fact that you played like Grey Seal, and I listened to Elderberry Wine and, yeah, you know, stuff like that. I said, this is really good. It shows your knowledge of Elton John. But do you find that the audiences seem to recognize those songs?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually another one of those self-realization critiques. You know, we'll bust out certain ones, and, you know, we'll see if it's receptive or not. Sometimes you just need the right place to play that right type of song too.
Like, right.
It's interesting. Like, the whole, like, what's the word? The whole, like, geography of it, the geography / discography of it all is crazy. Like, you know, where Tiny Dancer and Rocket Man are like huge in this area.
Right.
Like, you know, it's not as much in this area. Then it's like, maybe I'm Still Standing or like the rockin' ones, like Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. You know, it's yeah. Like, we noticed that changes too. And now that we're like a few years in and we're hitting markets multiple times now, like, you know, we've gotten a little bit of a better eye on how to funnel that through. Pick the right songs out.
That's interesting.
And the hits are just like, the hits are great. Like, I can, like, they're the ones that I started with. They're the ones,
sure,
that I discovered Elton with. But
right.
I mean, man, those B-sides, like some of those, like that stretch of Don't Shoot Me, Yellow Brick Road, Caribou, and Captain Fantastic. Like, whew, those four albums right there in a row are like, to me, that's like, that is him.
Yeah.
That is the epitome peak of his music ability. And
yep,
like any song from that, those albums in particular, like, we love doing
the gold standard. Well, here's,
yeah,
one for you. Have you ever tried to play Ego?
Ooh, okay, a little bit later.
Ooh, that, if you can play that, that is, whoa.
I know the song.
Yeah.
I've never played it though. I've never sung it, but
right,
yeah, that's a good one.
That's a really good one. I always crank that one up every once in a while.
I get in the mood for that album every now. Like, I think it's A Simple Man. Like, that's like right when,
yeah,
the band, he fired his band, and
yeah,
I think it was like the first album he made after that. But there's some interesting sounds on that one.
Yeah, when you think about it, well, I wasn't going to get to that. I was thinking, why did he fire his band? But you can almost see that in a way, not firing them, but changing up musicians just to come up with a different sound, and maybe you get complacent after a while.
Yeah, I think that, and sometimes business, I guess, just gets a little ugly.
Right. I'm not saying this for your band members. Don't worry about it, guys. He's not going to fire you.
No, no. God, no.
I wanted to just a little bit, and this is my fault on my side, because I really would love to have done this visually on Zoom, but I've had such a problem with it. But I don't know if you're near your piano. It doesn't matter if you're not. I was just wondering.
I can be in a few moments, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. I was going to get into, these are a couple of things I personally learned from Elton John as, you know, when I first started out playing, and you tell me if you agree to it, or maybe you tell me what you learned. I learned one thing that I played drums a little bit before I even played the piano. And I really think he's as good a drummer as he is a pianist. His rhythm is like, and your rhythm is just unbelievably on point. Don't you agree? Like
that I 100% agree. Like that's, it's actually really interesting that you bring that up, because recently, like these past like year or two, I always like am looking for new influence, like with piano, different styles and different angles to approach the piano. Mm-hmm. Like, so you being a piano player, drummer too, you like, it's going to sound like so obvious, like duh. But one day, like not too long ago, it just dawned on me that if you, you know what it was? I was playing my keyboard. I think I was setting up to record something, and my volume was all the way down. And when I turned the keyboard on, I was expecting to hear like the chords. And I just put my hands down and started playing like for half a second. And it was just like, you know, the keys hitting.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me. I'm like, I really understand why a piano is also considered a percussion instrument.
That's right.
Without the noise, we're literally just hitting hand drums.
That's exactly it.
We're hitting bongos and we're hitting like, you know, timpanis and you know, a drum set without the sticks, basically.
Yep.
Like our hands are, and we have 10 of those fingers. And like, I always gravitated towards drummers, like as a piano player, like, you know, I think we all have our little go-to people personally, like, you know, like certain people, certain players line up with other players. Like for me, like, I feel like piano players always go with guitar players, but like I always love drummers. And like when I made that realization, it completely just changed the whole perspective of how I approach piano. Like I started feeling the rhythms I'm hitting and then hearing the music second.
Interesting.
Which I've never done before. So like, it's evolved my polyrhythms, and it's gotten me better at like filling space, like in between, like in those, if you want to get really technical, like all those polyrhythmic subdivisions and stuff, like
right,
that I always used to struggle hell and back with, like, you know, it just unlocked it a little bit.
Like when I think of Elton John's songs, like his style, I almost think of it as not a rumba, but if you think about the actual beat, it's like, and then you, you know, like that. That's the Elton style. Don't you agree? That's
100%. That's Leave On Your Song, Tiny Dancer, right there. Absolutely.
Right. And the other thing, a realization I always had, this is to me very simple, but, and I guess you went to college for this, but it's almost like 2 + 3 = 3 + 2. You still come up with 5. So if you're playing a piano, this is for people who are just starting piano, and tell me if you disagree with this, or tell me if you teach this differently, but if a C chord is C, E, G, well, all right, you could put the G at the bottom, G, C, E, right?
Yep.
You can put them in any order. And that is how I learned that Elton John, like if he was playing a C, he doesn't just play a C chord. He might play a C chord with one of those notes at the bottom, like an E.
Mm-hmm.
Or an F chord with the A at the bass, like, oh, that's not the same thing as.
Yep.
Is that how you kind of learned as well? Like, that's what I learned from Elton John the most, is that you could mix up those notes.
Yes. And like going through those inversions, like
inversions, right.
When he's playing, a lot of the time he's playing a lot at any given moment, but for the most part, when he's doing the accompaniment during like a verse or something, for the most part, he's just taking a chord And he's just moving around the combinations of playing those notes together.
Yep.
So like for anybody also that's like, you know, starting piano, like a great thing like that I tell all my piano students are like just the first thing, because no one ever gets right into reading music right away. Like,
right.
I try to encourage it, but you lose that, like if you don't keep the energy and the excitement going, you'll lose them. Like, and I always tell them like, well, look, the music's going to take you like a little bit with reading it. So here, do this. Like you just said, here's a C, skip one, there's an E,
yep.
Skip one, there's a G. Now you just move each finger on each note up. And now you have your whole entire first set of seven chords in C. And then I tell them,
yep.
Take those three, because you're in a block now. Take those three and rearrange the puzzles,
yep.
For each of them. C, E, G, E, G, C, G, C, E. And now times that by every chord you have.
Yep.
And then any note you play, if you're playing a C major chord, it doesn't matter where you play the C, where you play the E, where you play the G. If you play them single, if you play them double or triple, it'll work anywhere on the piano.
That's right.
Take your left hand and just drop one of those three notes in that chord.
Yeah.
And then back to what you were saying, what Elton definitely did for me, I really noticed it in his music. When you talk about like, you know, doing that C chord and then you put the E on the bottom instead of the C, maybe,
yep.
It's a leading tone. So now like play like that chord with a C on the bottom and go to F, and then play that chord with an E on the bottom and go to F.
So play the C chord with an E on the bottom.
Yeah.
And then go to an F chord with an F on the bottom, or
and yeah, so like take that E and just go up one finger to the F.
I really threw a monkey wrench out. I wish you were at the piano. I'm going to have people listen to this and go, why the hell are you playing the piano? Why isn't he playing?
Oh, God.
It's my fault. I just picturing you'd be near the piano. Okay, so once again, C with an E, and then play the F with an F?
Yep. And then first is like a C chord with a C in the left hand to an F.
Oh, right.
Like it just gives it a little bit of a – it gives it that leading tone. And
okay.
It, like for me, I think of it as momentum, and he mm-hmm. does that a lot. Like he'll do those leading tones, and it just makes the destination more impactful, I guess.
Yeah. I had a more simple explanation. It's just so much cooler to hear those those chords. Like I learned if it wasn't for your song, I probably wouldn't be playing to this day. And what I did, and this is really going back, is when I started, there were 45 RPM records, right? And I got I bought the single, and I remember I'd take it down to my basement and I would play it at 30 at a lower speed, and you'd hear, you know,
yeah.
And my parents would go, would you finish the damn song? You know, and I would just spend like months just trying to, I'd hear it and go. Now, the simple way to play the second chord would be, well, that is the, well, let's put it this way. The simple way I would play it in the beginning without really listening to him would be, and then an E flat with a B flat, I mean, an A flat bass, you know.
Yeah.
But then, maybe even by mistake, and I think you can learn a lot of piano playing by just making a mistake. Because I think that's how I did it. One day I was like, and then I went up on my right hand to the next chord, but I forgot to move my left hand. Right?
You kept that E flat.
Right.
Yeah.
Kept the E flat. Same as what we're talking about, just taking one of those notes and accidentally putting it on your left hand instead of moving.
Sometimes that's when the best things happen.
Yeah, and that's really how I learned it. He was just a master. Billy Joel the same, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a slight different stylistic approach in both of them that really I love.
And right.
That's have shaped me a lot.
Yeah, people will ask, you know, who do you think's the better player? I could never come up with an answer with that.
I couldn't answer it either. I think they're both independently great in their own branch, like you know, they're
yeah.
It's like comparing chocolate and peanut butter.
That's right.
You can't You can't compare it, but you can put it together and have a really good time.
That's right. Now, if you look at old videos, they're playing like real, I guess they drag around real pianos. Now, I notice you play a digital, and I don't understand why you wouldn't just bring a digital, because you got to retune these things. But would you rather play a regular piano if you could?
Yes.
You would?
100%.
You would, yeah.
Oh, it's just the logistics of it. When it works and we have the opportunity, we do it.
Like, wow.
There's a couple shows that we've had, and we have a few coming up where, like, one's going to be at a university, and they have like this beautiful 9-foot Steinway from like 1975, which is like literally probably like the kind of piano Elton would have played back then. But,
right.
Like, that's a very, very luxurious spoiled treat when I get to play a real piano.
I think
want to upgrade, though. We have an upright shell that I just stick my keyboard in, but
yeah,
we are soon going to upgrade to a grand shell. Our problem isn't getting the shell. The issue is just once we get the shell, we need to upgrade the trailer. Like, we need to get something bigger to actually transport it.
Wow. So this is something, you own a trailer and everything goes in one?
We don't have a trailer yet. Right now, we're
Right
now we got the six of us down to about 3 to 4 cars. And then,
okay.
we just get the gear to fit. But yeah, eventually we got to get a trailer.
Sure. So your schedule, you were here in Schenectady, and then didn't you go to New Jersey, or am I wrong?
Yeah, actually, we just got back last night. We were in Red Bank, which is about maybe 10 or 15 minutes, like, outside of Asbury Park.
Oh, so you played last night.
North Jersey.
Wow.
It was a place called The Vocal.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great, great show. Like, we had such a great time. Wasn't as big as last week, but it was a great night.
I was listening to Paul McCartney, and he was saying that the Beatles, when they played, a lot of times, they did a lot of shows, don't get me wrong, but their shows sometimes were only like 20 minutes. Once they got really big, 20 minutes to a half hour. And you do, how long are your shows?
On average, hour and a half to 2 hours, usually towards the later end. It just goes back to, we usually have to get the time, the guy tapping his watch from the side of the stage, because we just love to play.
Yeah.
We really do. And Elton John would do that too. I've seen him a couple times. And like, you go there, like, his one concert started at 8 o'clock. And usually, you know, those guys, like, you know, they'll put maybe like an hour and a half, 2 hour show on. Like, holy cow. He didn't finish the last song until 11:30.
Oh,
that's a 3.5 hour concert.
Oh, like, my God.
I'm like,
how do you do it? Wow.
He played like 35 songs. I'm like, and the guy was probably like in his mid-60s at that point.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
like, wow. Like, talk about getting your money's worth.
Well, look at McCartney. I think he still does like 3 hour shows. He doesn't even take a drink of water. And he's 81 years old. I don't know. Well,
that guy and Ringo, I kid you not, they are, not that we want this, but they're going out on stage, man.
No, they are.
They're never stopping.
No. He's just booked a world tour again, McCartney.
I saw that. I might bite the bullet if he comes around. I've never seen Paul McCartney, and like an idiot, I had the opportunity when I was like 20, and I turned it down.
Whoa.
And I'm like, oh. It was at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, he was here. He came to Albany, and I was on vacation. I missed the concert. I really always wanted to see him. Yeah. So, okay. We're talking today. Where is your next gig? And when is it?
We are in the Rehoboth Beach, Dewey Beach, to be exact, in Delaware. This coming Friday, we're playing at a place called Bottle and Cork.
Uh-huh.
It's like an outside kind of bar near the beach area.
Nice.
That'll be fun. Then we're going to make a little trip out of it. We're going to do we got a campsite and like a little camper, and we're going to dock there instead of a hotel and camp out like on the beach for a day or two.
That's great.
And then Philadelphia. Then we hit up Philly the following week, and we have a two show run there. And Then we're off for a couple weeks. We got the latter part of August off, and then September and October pick up pretty heavy.
So it's mostly the East Coast, right? You're not flying anywhere.
No, we did do Colorado last year. Ooh. Like they flew us out to Beaver Creek Resort. It was that was pretty cool. Like that was a new experience. But yeah, for the most part, just East Coast. Mm-hmm. We have a situation here. We have this like where it's like, do we drive or do we fly? We just got this show down in South Carolina, next summer, and we're deciding, like, South Carolina, it's not too far that we could drive it, but it's also far enough that it's like, do we want to drive?
Yeah, so, yeah, we've driven to Florida several times.
It's a pain to drive.
Oh yeah,
and to fly, I mean, fly in for shows because there's just so much more you gotta set up. You gotta tell the venues to get you all the right gear and stuff. It's a hassle.
Sure. And how many costume changes do you do? See, I didn't really see that part of it because I was behind the stage when I watched you or heard you.
Yeah. You if you were back there, you probably saw me getting changed.
I did see you getting changed. Yeah, we did.
Well, I just did one for this show. It depends on the show flow. Sometimes we'll do like a set. And then, like, if the venue wants to have an intermission for, like, bar sales or something, then we'll take a little intermission, then I'll come out in a costume change. Like, in Schenectady in particular, like, we just did a straight through. So we have, like, certain songs where, you know, I can step off, like, before the song ends, and the guys can just jam out for a minute or two while I change. We do that a lot. We play, like, dice with each other, and then, like, you know, I'll come out and maybe I'll do an intro of Take Me to the Pilot for like 10 minutes, and then the others can go off, and
yeah,
sometimes they do a little quick change too. But yeah, we spice it up a little bit.
I don't remember you playing Take Me to the Pilot that night because I love that song. Did you? I don't know if you remember.
We did not play Take Me to the Pilot that night.
I would have heard that. I would have jumped off the boat and run over to see you there for that.
We wanted to. That's always the hard part too, man. Like, we just, like, when we're on a time limit, like, we only had an hour and a half, like,
right?
And there's just so many songs we want to play, and we gotta, at the end of the day, some just gotta get cut. And it's always that's actually a critique we'll get. That's usually our most common one we'll get. Like, people will come up after show and be like, "No, your song. Where was Rocket?" Like,
right?
Some you just have to play.
Yo, you gotta play that. Right. I was gonna do like Elton John trivia questions, like but I think you're going to know the answer to this. Like, what is Elton John's real first name?
Reginald Dwight.
That's right. Okay, very good.
I'm not going to be too proud of myself. Okay. Here, probably.
All right, we'll keep going. Bernie's real last name.
Bernie's real last name. Oh gosh, it's Bernie Taupin.
Bernie Taupin, that's right.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a trick question. I'm like, wait, it's not Taupin?
No. And he goes by Taupin now, right? I don't think he even uses Bernie anymore.
I don't know, actually. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, Elton's, what middle name did he acquire for himself?
Hercules.
That's right. Oh, you're very good. Very good. Yeah, he calls himself Hercules.
I'm scratching my head right now.
Right. Yep. All right. What's the significance of the date 11/17/70?
That was a live radio show he did.
Yep.
And they did, I think it was like a 5 or 6 song album.
That's right.
And there's some good ones on there.
Oh,
Amarina. I like that one.
And Take Me to the Pilot is one of the best versions I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think Burn Down the Mission too he plays.
Yes. Yeah, he burned down the whole place.
Yeah.
All right, and here's your final question. This is for 5 points, and you get a week in you get a week in Schenectady.
It's, all right.
It's Captain Fantastic and the blank, blank, blank.
Brown Cowboy.
That's right, you win. All right, we're giving you 2 weeks in Schenectady, so you'll come back.
Oh, we can't wait to come back.
But you've been here before, right? Have you played other things in this area, other places, or am I wrong?
Yes. Rivers was our third time, so
this
is a relatively newer market for us. But yeah, last last August in 2022, we played Frog Alley Brewing Company.
Oh, right. They have
they do an outdoor, they do a big outdoor stage there, like in the parking lot. And a band that we have worked with a lot and have helped us like a lot, especially in the beginning, like Almost Queen, they're called. They're a Queen tribute band, a very, very like established Queen tribute band, like where we want to get one day. But we opened for them at that stage last summer, and then like it seemed like it received pretty well. So we came back that winter, so like last January now, like 2023, and we played the inside venue at Frog Alley. And that was just our show then. And that did pretty well then. So like we're like, all right, like we have a market here. So the plan was just to reach back out to Frog Alley and just try to keep growing it. But then Rivers Casino reached out to us shortly after that show, and they're like, hey, we have this Harbor Jam thing that we do. And so yeah, we did that. And now the plan will be, we don't have the date just yet, but it'll probably be another Frog Alley return.
Oh,
I think probably in the later fall, winter time. We try to get on like a 6 to 8 month circuit for every like place we play.
Right. And do you prefer the outdoor ones? To me, I would think there'd be more, I don't know, interruptions in an outdoor concert, or you wouldn't be able to concentrate as much as an indoor, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, there's pros and cons of each. I love the energy and the vibe of an outdoor concert.
Yeah.
But to actually like really get intimate with like the music and hearing everything properly and
right.
just getting encompassed in everything that's going on. I mean, yeah, inside's nice, because then if you have a good sound system, if you have a good mixer,
right.
Like you're flooded with just sound, and it's great.
Sure. No, they did a nice job with the sound outside there.
I thought it was good. I mean, we can never hear the mains, but it's definitely an element of 1,000% trust there. But I mean, it sounded great on stage for us. Like we could hear everything. So
yep.
Usually when it sounds great on stage, it's usually pretty good.
All right, my final geeky questions, very geeky. What brand of keyboard do you play when you're playing it? What is that thing?
Yes, I'll be very geeky with you too, because I could talk about that all day.
Yamaha?
I am a Yamaha guy. I've always been.
Nice.
All four of my boards that I've had over the years have always been Yamaha. This particular one that I use now is the CP88 stage piano.
That's a great piano.
It's great. I'm not like the biggest synthesizer person. Like I don't like, you know, program much like live. So like I don't need a lot going on my piano. Like, so like for the CP one, it's just a very hands-on one. Like it's very analog based. You just flip switches and then all of a sudden you got your piano. So you flip that off and flip that one. Now you have your organs.
Yep.
So it's just, it's very easy to navigate, but, and the touch on it, like, you know, piano player to piano player, it's the touch, you know, it's hitting it and the weight to the key, like simulating like a real piano like that. That's, I'm always a sucker for that feature.
And they've come so far. Now they have this thing called modeling, right? Where they used to do sampling, where they would just take maybe a microphone or a couple or two or three microphones and record every note. Now it's done with the real more advanced pianos. Even the more intermediate pianos now, they're using this modeling where a computer just recreates the sound, like every single nuance of a piano.
It's insane.
So close. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the technology that goes into that, like they take any new modeled acoustic piano that comes out, and then they just like subsonically like recreate it digitally.
Yeah.
And then they can take that information, put it into a tiny little chip that goes inside these keyboards.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. It's like we're very spoiled now. I didn't grow up in this time. I was not around, but I have a very, very, it's funny, I have a very nostalgic reminiscence of like the old days, but I actually am not from the olden days, if you will, for lesser sense of words. I was born in 95.
Oh my God. My keyboard's from 93. I mean, but come on.
but my heart lies in like the 60s, 70s,
yeah.
80s, like especially, and and my nostalgia, I can't relate it to memories. I don't have any memories of it, but my nostalgia for some reason is linked to music. These artists that I have not grown up with, but yet find myself identifying with. And I'm a very big audio geek too. So like, I really appreciate like the old style, like tape and just how you didn't have the technology like you do back then. And back then, you know, like right now, if you don't get the take right, you know, you could spice it up a little bit. Back then, you just had to be a good player.
That's right.
You just had to get the take right. like, yeah.
Well, look at talk about the Beatles, their first album. I think they did the whole album like one day, you know, like on a two track. Yeah. I remember like my first keyboard would be like the Fender Rhodes, which I always love it, but everything. You can't play every song with that sound, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you're carrying this huge piano and everything sound like the Carpenters, which I love the Carpenters, but you can't play Elton John and make it sound like the Carpenters, you know.
That's beautiful. You got Fender Rhodes right there.
No, I don't. No, I have a Roland that has that sound, but I'm just saying.
Over the phone, it just sounded like, you know, the vibrato. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, right.
Okay. There's a piano.
Yeah. I'd love to hear you play, but you're not near the piano. Well, this is really great, and I really appreciate the time. I know you, it was very nice of you to, I know you're a very busy guy.
Oh, no problem at all. Today, I'm not busy. No excuses today. I'm not busy today. I'm just chilling. We'll probably go make some lunch, and I got some band stuff to do, but I think we'll let the morning guy tomorrow deal with that.
Sure. And a lot of people listen to podcasts and maybe they're probably saying, well, why don't you play something or play a cut from you guys playing out live? But there's restrictions on doing that. But if people want to hear your playing and they missed any one of your concerts, where can they hear you? Where do you have a website where the stuff is on?
Yes.
Or
the best thing to do, I'll give you our website. Okay. Everything's linked to it. You could check us out at www.philadelphiafreedomtribute.com.
Oh, that's what it's called.
And okay. Subscribe. Yeah, subscribe to our site. We have our tour dates up. We're putting up our fall schedule really soon. So right now when you look at it, there's only going to be like maybe two or three dates. But fall's coming up soon. But yep, we got videos up there. All our social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Everything's linked to that. So you could like check out some videos and clips and stuff.
So it's philadelphiafreedomtribute.com, right?
Yep.
Great.
That's right.
Great. Doug, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And it was really great talking piano with you.
Yeah, Richie, this was a really nice, I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, same here.
You got me like, you got the music brain flowing. Like now I think I'm going to go down and work on something.
Me too.
it was really nice.
I'm going to listen to some Elton albums now. In my car.
Good. I'm on Caribou right now. That's
oh yeah.
Kids,
so. I'm gonna play Ego, because I have
Ooh, there you go.
Because I have one. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks a lot, Doug.
Let's please stay in touch, Richie. This is really nice. I hope to see you again.
When you're back in town again, I really want to see you again.
Awesome. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Doug. Thanks again. I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation with Doug, and I hope you did too. Go out and see him next time he comes to this particular area in the Capital Region or wherever you're listening. It's the Philadelphia Freedom Tribute Band. And like he said, his website is philadelphiafreedomtribute.com. And he's got all the information. You can listen to him and check it out. He really does put on a fantastic show. I am really thinking of morphing this podcast into just doing tribute bands. There's just so many of them all over the place in our area. And all over the place. If you think that's a good idea, you could text me. Not text me. Please don't text me. You can go to my Facebook page at Richie Phillips. I also have another one. It's at Ryman Richie. So you got your choice there. Leave me a comment. I too have a website that I don't promote enough because I'm not good at promotion. It's Hire Richie. Hint, hint. No, it's HireRichie.com.
HireRichie.
That's HireRichie.com. And people have been very nice to ask if I'm ever going to do that piano bar again. I just did two nights at a place called Panza's in beautiful Saratoga Springs.
Had a great time for all the folks that came out. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. That was just kind of like a substitute gig. I was subbing for a couple people. And if they ask me, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I am doing an opening act for, this is very exciting, for Randy Travis. And that's going to be coming up on the 26th of August at the Charles Woods Theater in Glens Falls. And then on to Laconia, New Hampshire. And I'm going to be an opening act for him there, too. I have to laugh because it makes it sound like this is something I'm doing every week. This is just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I want to thank the organizer of these two concerts, Kevin Richards, for letting me be a part of it once again. We did this last year, and I had such an incredible time. Just to be sitting near legendary Randy Travis was just incredible. I'm trying really hard to get Randy Travis's wife on this podcast, and I'm getting close, folks. But I'll be passing out cigars if that happens. If you like this podcast, give it a subscribe, give it a like, spread the word. I really appreciate it. Talk to you next time on Top Talent.